In the 1950s and 1960s, psychedelics had a big impact on psychiatry. A lot of people thought that they might be actually be the next big thing in mental health. Then the Nixon administration launched the war on drugs, and medical research into psychedelics was scooped up in the dragnet and has been pretty much halted for about half a century. Now, a lot of medical institutions and universities are getting more interested in whether or not there might be clinical uses for psychedelics. And one charity here in Australia is calling for more innovation when it comes to mental health treatment. It's called Mind Medicine Australia. They've been getting a lot of interest. They've recently started a webinar series and they're planning a conference in November. Tanya de Jong AM is the co-founder and director of Mind Medicine Australia. G'day, Tanya.
G'day, Josh.
What
lovely to talk.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you. Tell us about the genesis of your organisation and what you're trying to do.
Yeah, so my husband and I, Peter Hunt, who's an ex-investment banker, and I, we're now philanthropists and social entrepreneurs, and we've set up four charities before Mind Medicine Australia, and we came across psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy through Michael Pollan article in The New Yorker. And we were immediately captivated by it. I mean, neither of us have had any drugs in our lives. I don't even drink alcohol or coffee. I'm a very boring person. But what happened was we decided that this was something we'd be interested to try ourselves because we read about the incredible remissions these medicines were getting for a range of different conditions. And we don't have a particular mental health condition, but all of us carry trauma in our lives. And Peter's father had committed suicide when he was 13, and I'm the daughter and granddaughter of Holocaust survivors. So we went to Holland and we had a session in a medically controlled environment with a guide with psilocybin, which is the psychoactive component of magic mushrooms. And it was such a powerful and meaningful experience in so many different ways, took us into a whole different world at the time and ever since, really, in terms of feeling a sense of connection, a sense of love, improving our relationships with ourselves, with one another, with other people in our families and the community, just awe-inspiring experience. And so that led us to think, well, gosh, we've got all these other charities that we've founded before. At the heart of each of those charities, you know, all of the people in those charities in general are suffering from mental illness. So you can provide housing, you can provide shelters, you can provide choirs, and all of our charities do all these things. But at the end of the day, if you can't solve the mental illness challenge that people have and get to the cause of what is making them feel, you know, sad or depressed or anxious, then it's actually hard for people to lead a meaningful life. So we set about meeting all the psychiatrists and scientists from around the world leading the field in this space, and found that this space was incredibly burgeoning, experiencing a renaissance since the 1970s, and that there's been 119 current or recent trials which have shown incredible outcomes, 60 to 80% remissions after 2 to 3 sessions with either psilocybin or MDMA-assisted psychotherapies.
Remissions of what?
Remissions from depression, so treatment-resistant
right.
depression, PTSD, anxiety, in some cases, alcohol and smoking.
As I understand it, and also I should add in, Tanya, all of, I think, the self-evident qualifications that one has to add when you have a conversation like this, that this is in no way an endorsement of people trying out illicit drugs on their own.
Absolutely not.
We're talking about a clinical, in a clinical setting, in a medically controlled environment, using very, very pure versions of some of these drugs, and whether or not there could be a use for them, because as we know, there are all kinds of legal drugs that are pharmaceutically available that are also horrendously
Absolutely.
Bad for you, like opioids.
And heroin gets used in anesthetics all the time.
Yes,
example.
Yes.
So there's good and bad uses for every.
And so, if I remember, it's interesting that you mentioned Michael Pollan's article, because his book on this is a fascinating read as well. And I'm interested in the research that's being done in the US, also, I believe, at Johns Hopkins University about end of life care. So people who have terminal illnesses who are, needless to say, going on an emotional and spiritual and psychological roller coaster, have had incredible results in a clinical setting by taking psilocybin and being guided through it in terms of finding a sense of peace and also PTSD from returning servicemen and women. What do you know about those studies, and could they be replicated here?
Absolutely. I mean, actually, there's an end-of-life study taking place at the moment at St Vincent's Hospital in Melbourne, which is part funded by Mind Medicine Australia. And we also have a wonderful trial looking at, you know, potential MDMA trials in Australia for veterans and other Defence Force and first responders who experience such high levels of mental illness and stress as well.
What's going on here, do you think? What is it about these chemicals that is proving so much more useful than other compounds?
Well, these medicines have an incredible way, particularly the mushrooms, connect perfectly, like a lock fitting into a key, with your serotonin 5-HT2A receptor. And so they provide a serotonin uplift, which is quite different to antidepressants. And what happens particularly with psilocybin is the medicines help patients to bypass what is called the default mode network, which is what keeps us stuck in our rigid thinking patterns. So, for example, we might be going, you know, life's never going to work out, no one loves me, my future looks really bleak, and these repeated rigid ruminating thoughts that people who are suffering from depression, you know, often experience over and over again, which keeps them stuck in a very black and dark space. And what happens when you bypass the default mode network of the brain with these medicines, which are quite incredible, mind-revealing medicines is actually what psychedelic means, mind-revealing medicines, you get this massive neurogenesis and neural connections connecting in new and different ways, increasing your neuroplasticity. So not just reconnecting your old neural pathways, which might be damaged, but actually creating new neural pathways, which make you also feel more creative and more connected. And it is in that space that people experience incredible sense of healing and connection, because actually the definition of depression, anxiety, and most mental illnesses is a sense of disconnection, a sense of feeling separate from others and the rest of the world, that you're doing this all alone. And these medicines help to bring an incredible sense of love and peace and a sense of acceptance with what has happened in your life and a sense of gratitude so that you can move forward in your life.
What do you say to people who say, well, of course illicit mind-altering compounds are going to make you feel happy? I mean, that's the upside of drugs, and the downside of drugs are well known. Mm-hmm. It's not a long-term solution to depression or any other mental condition to pop some happy pills.
Well, the remarkable thing is that the trials are showing that remissions actually increase from, you know, 6 and often after 12 months as well. So with the proper integration of these medicines in a medically controlled environment, which is what Mind Medicine Australia is focused on, people actually improve over time, and they learn to actually integrate, literally integrate these experiences into their lives, into their work, into their families, you know, so it becomes part of them. And it's like a lot of people liken it to pressing a reset button. Defragging the computer chip, so to speak.
Yeah, right. And yes, I wonder if part of the defragging is an interesting analogy, because it also points to the sort of spiritual component of this, in that I do remember reading in Michael Pollan's book, and if people are interested in the book about this, it's called How to Change Your Mind, What the New Science of Psychedelics Teaches Us About Consciousness, Dying, Addiction, Depression, and Transcendence by the American journalist Michael Pollan. And one thing that he does note is that very large numbers of respondents in some of these clinical trials of psilocybin, which is the active ingredient in magic mushrooms, say that not only was the therapy effective, and these are mostly, I believe, PTSD, people who are suffering from PTSD, who are war veterans and people who are terminally ill patients, but that it was one of the most profound experiences of their entire lives. And I wonder whether that's actually a bad thing for your cause as much as a good thing, because it sort of makes people think, oh, this is, you know, a big hippy-dippy Woodstock, hippy-trippy love fest instead of a hard-nosed scientific cure.
No, well, that's right. I mean, I suppose what we say, I mean, we have to focus on the science, and the science is very compelling. But, you know, people are going to feel more connected and it is going to raise their consciousness and that's going to make them feel better as well. I mean, it is a combination of the substance and what it actually does with, you know, with our neurotransmitters, but then it's also where it takes us, so that it takes us into a higher energy space where we're able to actually deal with and cope with what has happened to us. And we're all carrying this intergenerational trauma. You know, as I said, I'm a Holocaust survivor. And I'm not. My parents and grandparents are, but sorry, I'm not that old. But
I was going to say, you sound great for that age.
For that. But, you know, we're all carrying this trauma. And if you think about the current crisis we're in, this pandemic, that also is creating an enormous amount of trauma for people. And that's something that we're all carrying collectively. And we all need to heal. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's very important that these medicines become available and accessible to people through the medical system.
Do we need a new, if you could snap your fingers and change the laws in Australia, what would happen to psilocybin and MDMA?
Well, we're working on that at the moment, and actually we've had some great conversations with the TGA, and there are opportunities to both reschedule the substances. So they're still medically controlled. We're not at all suggesting that people go to the chemist and get some psilocybin and take it home, just to be clear. But there are options to reschedule these substances so that they become more available both to researchers and to psychiatrists and other medical professionals. And we're starting a therapist training program, and we have a wait list of 250 psychiatrists, GPs, psychologists, drug and alcohol counsellors and so on for that course, which is starting in early 2021. So that's going to become available, and rescheduling, I'm sure, will occur. But also there's another scheme through the TGA, which is called the SASB scheme, which is what's been used for medicinal cannabis. So where a practitioner has run out of options for a patient, they by definition treatment resistant to current existing treatments, at that point a psychiatrist can apply on a case-by-case basis to the TGA. For example, they've done this with medicinal cannabis, and we have every reason to believe that that will also be available for psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy in Australia, because it's very important for all of us to remember that at the moment, before the COVID crisis, one in five Australians had a serious mental illness, one in eight were on antidepressants, one in four older adults, an average of eight people committing suicide a day. This is before the current crisis. So we need some solutions, because the current treatments only work for some people, but not enough treatment. Not enough people, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. We're speaking with Tanya DeYoung, who's the co-founder and executive director of Mind Medicine Australia. I've got a text message from Liza in Sydenham saying, how does someone get into this? Is it expensive? I assume, I'm not sure what the this there is. If the this means an actual
treatment
where psilocybin or MDMA is used, then good luck in Australia, probably. So the answer is probably no, you'd have to go overseas. But in terms of your webinars, and you've got a conference coming up in November where you've got some big speakers like Daniel Ariely and Simon Long staff, how can people connect with you?
Well, I just say to Liza as well that if you've got a psychiatrist and you know, they can apply to the SASB and they can contact us at Mind Medicine Australia, and we'll help them work through that process. So there are ways. And we're working on making those ways possible for all Australians. And that's what we're doing as philanthropists. But, yeah, get involved in our webinars. So we've got four more webinars in our current series, one next Wednesday, which is really all about the science and some of the mission that we've got for Mind Medicine Australia. And then we've got other webinars, like one on anxiety and optimism and the way forwards for mental health and the future beyond the pandemic, which we all need to think about, because there will be a future, hopefully, beyond this pandemic. And and then, of course, you know, we've got wonderful psychiatrists and others who are coming on our webinars, and they're all free. So people can go on our website, mindmedicineaustralia.org. You know, of course, people can support us and support this work, because we've got lots of philanthropists who are, you know, who see the need, the mental illness crisis that we have in Australia, and want a paradigm shift in this space. And then we have this major summit in November, which is an international summit on psychedelic therapies to treat mental illness. And we have some of the leading psychiatrists and researchers in the world, pretty much all the global leaders in this space that we're bringing to Melbourne. So we invite everyone to get involved in whatever way they can. Support us, volunteer, set up local chapters. We've got chapters all over Australia. We have a few in New South Wales, one in Sydney, one in Byron, and we're open to people, you know, just getting out there. We need innovation in mental health treatment desperately.
Thanks, Tanya. Good to talk to you. Good luck.
Thank you. Thanks so much for your support.
You got it. Yeah, no problem. That's Tanya de Jong, who's the co-founder and executive director of Mind Medicine Australia. They're a charity which is pushing for the inclusion of psilocybin and MDMA in trials and medical treatments for post-traumatic stress disorder and end-of-life care.